Today, as we look at our scripture, we're in the book of Ruth, first chapter, verses 1 to 22. And yes, Julie, there are some stumbling names here, but that all comes with part of the territory. And I've read some of these names a couple times, and we'll see. I'll probably still stumble over them. I would say as we read through this, you know, there's many themes in the book of Ruth. But as I'm just thinking about this particular scripture, probably the two that come to mind are compassion and commitment. And so just as we read these words here, or listen to these words too, or join together in these words, think about compassion and commitment. Okay. So this part of the story of Ruth is Elimelech family goes to Moab. In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judea. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moab's wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they lived there about 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will be victory. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi turned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. May God add his understanding to this word.
The story of Naomi and Ruth is a familiar story. And I plan to share a little bit about what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Naomi had a lot to worry about, didn't she? Are you, at the beginning, I want to ask a question, and I'll ask it throughout. Are you living a life without worry? As we learned a few weeks ago, Jesus said that it was a sin for us to worry too much. He said, you can worry about today, but don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. So are you living a life filled with worry or without worry? And second question, are you experiencing the strong presence of the living God in your life, which casts out all fear? The beautiful thing in this story, in the undercurrent of the story, is this. Under the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament, Naomi was very secure. She had a husband and she had two sons. And the great fear of women at this time was that they would not be married, they would be single, and there would be no way for them to survive because a man had to earn the money. The man was that's just the way that it was. The man could do all the dealing. So if your husband died before you had children, so if you were a widow and you had no children, then you would have no source of income. But Naomi not only had a husband, she also had two sons. And so it's extremely tragic that her husband dies and both of her sons died without leaving any heirs. The sons were commanded to support her under God's law. In fact, God's law also commands that any woman who became a widow in your family had to be taken care of by some man who was related to the deceased husband. Somebody had to take care of her. And it would fall to the oldest and then go down the line. And it was usually start with the brothers. And if there were no brothers, then other men in the family would get involved. And this was the law. They had to do it. This was called redemption. The redemption process began with the closest relative to the widow's deceased husband. The eligible men would talk amongst themselves, and the first in line was given the first opportunity, and he would decide whether or not he was going to pay the price of redemption. And this price, it's also called the bride price, and it's enough money or enough security to guarantee a lifetime of support and income for the widow. So it's not a small thing. So in God's holy word, he has a solid future guaranteed for every woman who is in his family. If you are following God's law, then you are commanded to take care of the woman in this regard. But if there were no eligible men, or if they were poor and could not pay the price of redemption, the only option for the woman, for the widow, was to become either a beggar or a prostitute. The story of Ruth is a story of redemption. And redemption is paying the price, or the bride price, on behalf of a person in need. It is taking care of them financially, and really, it is a lifeline. It is taking care of a person who cannot afford to live on their own, who otherwise would have a very bleak future, and as I mentioned already, they would have to become either a beggar or a prostitute. This price of redemption was a guarantee that this widow would now be able to live comfortably for the rest of her life, and it was provided by something the Jews call a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. So a relative who would redeem, and so they would have to have a bit of money. They would have to be fairly well off, and they would pay the price. She would become his wife, so to speak, in a sense, and he would support her. The book also shows us, the book of Ruth also shows us how God's purposes are accomplished in this world. We see, do we not? We see the law of the kinsman redeemer, where women are taken care of. And we see a little bit later in the story, and we'll get into that, but we see generosity and kindness, because God also commanded the children of Israel right from the very beginning. He said, when you go into your fields, do not glean all of the harvest. Leave the grain in the corners of the field, because you once were wanderers, and now you are living in the land that I promised you. But you need to leave the grain in the corner of the fields for those who are weary, those who are poor, those who are traveling, who have no home, those who have no means of support. And so the Israelites did this on a regular basis. So the law of the kinsman redeemer and the law of generosity and kindness, leaving a percentage of the grain harvest for those most in need. God's intervening in our lives is seen in the story of Ruth. And the personal kindness of people like Naomi and Boaz, they all make this a very remarkable story of, and it's a true story, of how God works in the lives of true believers. In the end, we find that the story of Ruth is a story of redemption. And again, the obvious redemption is the redemption of Ruth, of course, because she is given a future when she didn't have any hope. So I'll read you the end of the story. But by the way, I would strongly encourage you to read the story. The entire story is quite short. It would take you maybe 15 minutes to read, but I'm going to give you just a brief synopsis here. So the end of the story goes like this. Now, Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, so this is what is needed, somebody related to the deceased. Okay, so the deceased husband of the widow. So Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, and he was a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. We read this in chapter 2. Now Ruth finds work by gleaning as a foreigner. So in other words, she's going in after everyone else has done the gleaning, and she's going into the corners of the field and getting a little bit for herself behind the owner's workers. She just happens to end up in the field of Naomi's relative, Boaz, who just happens to be cha-ching, you know what I mean. He's well taken care of. And again, I strongly encourage you to read the rest of the story, because we're not going to get into it here, but it's beautiful and it's wonderful to read. So three things I want to tell you at this point. Number one, Ruth impresses Boaz with her strong work ethic. She is a hard worker, and he takes notice of this, because every person who hires a worker wants them to do a good job. Number two, Boaz finally hears how Naomi's husband and her sons have died, and he knows that Ruth's husband has died. And so he has compassion for both Naomi and Ruth. And again, he really appreciates the fact that she is a hard worker. And number three, most importantly in this story, is this. Boaz is moved by God with compassion for this woman in need, and he agrees to pay the full price for Ruth, and she is set for life. Now, there's a little jostling going in there between Boaz and another man, but I'm going to let you read the story. I don't want to give too much of it away. But I want to ask you this. Ruth now is set for life, just the way God planned it in His holy word. How do we become, quote-unquote, set for life? And who is our Redeemer? Well, I would say that we become set for life when our kinsman Redeemer, Jesus Christ, pays the full price that nobody else could pay, the price of His blood, His death on a cross. He buys us. He sets us up for life. He is our Redeemer. And again, the question is, are you living a life without worry? Or are you living a life knowing that you are redeemed and that you have nothing to worry about? And the second question, are you experiencing the strong presence of the living God in your life? So what is the formula for the redemption in this story, Pastor John? I mean, what can you break it down into a formula for me? There's no magic formula. God has already taken care of your bride price and my bride price. Did you know that all of us in here, men and women, are the bride of Christ? That's what we are. Jesus is the bride. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. That's the way he tells the story. And you can read that in the New Testament, of course. So Jesus has already paid the price. We simply have to accept Jesus as our husband. We need to accept Jesus as our kinsman redeemer, the one willing to pay the full redemption price so that we can have eternal security and a life without worry. And so there is no need for us to ever worry again to that extent. Now, some major summary points I want to give to you from the book are here. I'm going to give you three of those as well. The major summary points. Number one, Ruth's faith provided a lifetime of security paid by her kinsman redeemer. But don't forget, number two, Ruth's faith was the faith of a woman who had come from the wrong kind of people. The Moabites, now 1400 BC, when the children of Israel came in the Exodus out of Egypt into the Promised Land, the Moabites were commanded by their king to have nothing to do with helping the Israelites. And so because they refused to help them in their time of need, God told Moses, he said, they need to be excluded. And he said, for 10 generations, you shall not have anything to do with the Moabites. The people from Moab are not to come into my family. They are not to come into my house. So number one, Ruth's faith provided a lifetime of security. But number two, this woman who had a great faith was a Moabite. She was the wrong kind of people. Her people were excluded. But what saved her? Her faith in God. Which brings me to the final point, number three. Ruth saw something better in Naomi than what she had growing up. Have you ever met somebody that had something they have a peace? They have something that they've got a real peace and a real presence, and they just let God flow through them. This is what Ruth saw in Naomi. Naomi impressed her with kindness and confidence. She was so kind to her. She was so kind. And she was so confident. And another word for confidence would be faith. So what's the application for you and me today with all of these summary points? The application for you and me today is this. It's absolutely imperative for us to be kind to others. This is how God speaks to others, through our kindness. For us as people, it's almost impossible to have kindness without faith in God. And why is that? Because you have to experience God showing up in your life. You have to have a close faith with God. You have to have an experience with God showing up in your life. You need answers to desperate prayers in terrible situations. You need to have walked enough with God, and he's gotten you out of some big jams, and he has helped you in times when nobody else could do it. This is what we need to have. This needs to be a part of our life. Ruth could have taken the easy way out. Ruth the Moabite, she could have taken the easy way out. Now, maybe it's not the easy way in the end, but it was the old familiar way. And isn't the old familiar way what we're used to? You know, I've been here before, and you know what? Oh, forget it. I'm just going to do what I've always done. You know, the way of sin. It was the old path. She learned growing up in Moab, and that was worshiping false gods and trusting only in yourselves, because the gods were not gods at all. They were false gods. Ruth saw the difference in Naomi's life. Do people see the difference in your life? She saw the difference between Naomi's God and her gods back in Moab. She knew in her heart, she was convinced in her heart because of her experience with Naomi, that the God of Israel was the one true living God. Naomi was kind to the daughters-in-law, and that opened the door, and that opened the heart of Ruth. For Ruth, this kindness was life-changing. Naomi's kindness opened the heart of Ruth to the love of God. What else did it do? Ruth's faith brought God into her life, and her faith brought God into her life in a very spectacular way, because her great-grandson was King David. When you read in the genealogies, Ruth and Boaz beget Obed, and then Obed begets Jesse, and Jesse begets David, and David is the final of the 8 sons that is born to Jesse. And so this Moabite, who is the wrong type of person, God allows her to have a part in not only the family of Israel, of God's people, but also the family of the Messiah, David, and eventually Jesus. So once again, are you living a life without worry? We see Naomi and Ruth worrying in the story, but then they come to their senses. Are you living a life without worry? Spend more time with God. Are you experiencing the strong presence of the living God in your life? And I do have 2 more questions at the end. Are you living a life of kindness and generosity as God's laws would have us do? Are you living a life of kindness and generosity so that others will seek God? Or are you living a life of keeping it all to yourself and having nothing to do with needy people? Are you near to God? So close that you're spending time with Him, it feels like you are in the very shadow of God? Or are you in the shadow of ungodly things? God tells us that He will lift us up on eagle's wings, those of us who are in the shadow of the Almighty. We are so close to Him that His shadow is cast upon us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful story of Naomi and her faith, and which was contagious, and Ruth was changed, and Ruth was blessed because of that in many, many ways. And the world has indeed been blessed by her through the Messiah, through King David, and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, Lord, in these days to be the people You have called us to be. Refresh our hearts, refresh our spirits as only You can. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said.